Okay, if you would, open up your Bibles to Romans chapter 3. I tell you what's on my heart tonight, and these songs go right along with that, because everything we were singing about is about what God has done for us and our acceptance of it, and then our testifying about it. And so I want to talk to you about grace, about guidance, and about gifts. And I want to lay a foundation here in the New Testament, and then I want to go to the Old Testament, and I want you and I to see the reality that the Spirit of the living God abides in you. And by God's grace, you and I, we're born again. But we are named into the family of God, and we have a relationship with God. And with that relationship of grace, something that was divine influence upon the heart, something that we didn't deserve, we could do nothing to earn it, it brought the guiding hand of God in your life. Come on, say you're guided tonight. Not by the world, but by the Spirit. Amen. And He's leading you into the fullness of His gifts. Amen. That you might be a, ambassador for Him. You might be an administrator for Him. And so hold those thoughts in your heart. And let's look, in Romans chapter 3. Let's start reading in verse 20. Romans chapter 3, verse 20. Say amen when you get there. Therefore, by the deeds of the law, there shall no flesh be justified in His sight. For by the law is the knowledge of sin. Brother Corey alluded to that this morning. Verse 21. But now the righteousness of God without the law is manifested, being witnessed by the law and the prophets. Like we said earlier, you know, the Old Testament is Jesus Christ concealed. The New Testament is Jesus Christ revealed. Verse 22, even the righteousness of God, which is by faith. Say, I've got faith. Even the righteousness of God, which is by faith of Jesus Christ, unto all and upon all them that believe. For there is no difference. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. But being justified, being rendered innocent. Amen. Say, I'm innocent. Hallelujah. Being justified freely by His grace through the redemption. You're paid in full. Come on, my debt, your debt, paid in full. Through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, whom God has set forth to be a propitiation, an atonement. The same word is translated mercy seat in the book of Hebrews. Aren't you thankful for the mercy seat? Being a propitiation, a mercy seat through faith in His blood to declare His righteousness for the remission of sins that are past through the forbearance of God. To declare, I say at this time, His righteousness that He might be just and the justifier of Him. Say, He's talking about me. The justifier of Him which believeth in Jesus. The justifier of Him which believeth in Jesus. Brother Donnie, would you pray? Yes. Amen and amen. Hallelujah. Thank you, Brother Donnie. Thank you for honoring the word. And once again, I'm so thankful that you're here tonight. I'm glad to have Michael, and I believe his son's name Michael as well, here tonight. Glad that they're here. Glad that each one of you is here. Amen. When we come together in the name of the Lord, all things are possible. Amen. Because you bring the Spirit of God with you. You bring your giftings, your calling. You bring your level of faith with the word that has been ministered in and through your life. And we come together and we worship the Lord and we see Him exalted. And so tonight, Jesus is your justifier. Jesus is my justifier. And so we need to live a life not according to how we feel or not according to what it looks like to the world or looks like on the outside, but we live from the inside out knowing because we are a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ that we are born again by grace. Amen. We have the grace of God active in our life. And so we need to get all the labels of the old man, all the limitations of the old man, all the lack of the old man, and lay it on the mercy seat. Lay it in that place of grace. And when we lay it in that place of grace, all of a sudden we realize that because we don't have to earn anything, we just accept by faith, then that puts you and I in a place and a position where we can exalt the Lord Jesus Christ in His duly position, which is the Lord of all, above all, and we can just simply follow His voice. He wants to lead you and guide you. He wants to lead me and guide me as the sheep of a pastor in Him. He wants us to hear Him call us by name. And so tonight I want us to see that we can do these things by grace. Hold your place here and turn over to Romans chapter 15, and we're going to go and see why we are going to go to the Old Testament and learn more about God's grace, about His guidance and about His giftings. Look at what Paul tells the church here in Romans 15. He says in verse 4, Romans 15 and 4, "For whatsoever things were written aforetime," in other words, the Old Testament, this is what Paul's alluding to, "what's written under the Old Covenant, were written for our learning, for our instruction." This Bible is here for you and I to be inspired to the mind of God. You and I were to let the mind of Christ be in us. Amen. And the way that we can have the mind of Christ is that we renew that mind by this Bible. You and I, we have a teacher. We have the Holy Ghost. That anointing to teach you and I, it abides within us. And He wants to lead us and guide us into all truth if we will allow Him. And we're going to allow Him to. Amen. And so notice what He said. He said, "For whatsoever things were written aforetime were written for our learning, that we through patience and comfort of the Scriptures might have hope." Come on. God wants us to have hope. And so when you mix hope and you mix it with faith, then you're in the place of expectancy, and you're in the place where you can receive everything that this Bible talks about. Amen. And it's all by grace. But see what grace will do. It'll grab you and I where we're at by the hand. It'll grab us by the heart. And it will lead us, it will guide us to where we need to go. Brother Dave and I were talking this morning after church. We were talking about Romans 2:4. Romans 2:4 tells us in part, the last part of the verse, that it's the goodness of God that leads us to repentance. Aren't you glad of that? See, I didn't even know I needed to repent. I didn't know that, I've shared with you, I was as green could be about some things. And God placed a young Christian man in my life in school, and he would point out different things that was sin. I didn't know that was sin. I didn't have any understanding about what sin was because I was just living my life. And so God places people in our life and He gives us grace. And then that grace grabs us by the heart and it grabs us by the hand and it starts leading us out of what the devil has imagined for us. Come on, the devil has vain imaginations. He has plans for you. He has plans for me. But praise God, from the foundation of the world, Jesus Christ died that you and I might be an overcomer, that we might have victory. And so those things are written aforetime for us. And so I need to be in the place and the position that I let the Scripture have preeminence in my life. I dive into the Word of God. So with Paul saying this, I want us to go, and we're going to spend the majority of our time in Genesis chapter 24. Now you pray for me because there's 67 verses in this chapter. And I've got to be led by the Lord to figure out how to bring the context of what He's wanting to bring out tonight out of these 67 verses. Amen. Because there is so much meat in this verse. But when you leave here tonight, you're going to be in the place and the position that no matter what you face tomorrow, what you face next week, no matter what weapon the enemy has formed against you, it's not going to prosper. Because you're going to be in the place where you say, "No, you don't, devil. I've got grace. The grace is guiding me. The grace is bringing the gifts of God. The gifts of God, they equip me, they empower me to be that ambassador, to be that person who has a possession of Christ and has the ability to sow into a lost world." Amen. All right, so let's look at some things. So in Genesis 24, let's start at verse number 1. And remember, the Old Testament is full of types and shadows. And so to understand, we've got to look at, don't get overwhelmed with the details, but we've got to, by the eyes of the Spirit, see the types and the shadows. Verse number 1. "And Abraham was old and was well stricken in age, and the Lord had blessed Abraham in all things. And so we know that Abraham is the father of faith. We ministered on that this morning. But here Abraham is a type and a shadow of God, okay? Because he is that father of faith. That's who God is. God is the father, your father, my father, of faith. And God is a blesser. God wants you to be blessed. He wants you to know his son, Jesus. That's how true blessings come. And when we understand Jesus. Now notice what happens in verse number 2. And Abraham said unto his eldest servant of his house that ruled over all that he had, put, I pray thee, thy hand under my thigh. So I want you to imagine this type in the shadow. Here's Abraham, which is the type in the shadow of God the Father. And he's talking to his eldest servant. Now, don't you see some parallels here? Now, his eldest servant was in the place and the position, as it just stated, that he ruled over all that Abraham had. He ruled over all that God had. So this servant, what would be the type and the shadow that you and I would need to look at and receive him as? Jesus. And who lifts up Jesus? The Holy Ghost, right? So this servant here is a type of the Holy Ghost, fixing to bring a bride to Isaac, bring a bride to Jesus. Say, I'm the bride. Come on, we're the bride. And God is wanting to get us to Isaac, wanting to get us to Jesus. And so his name, if you look in Genesis chapter 15, his name is Eliezer. And his name is God's helper. What's the Holy Ghost called? God's helper, amen? And so we know this servant here is a type and a shadow of the Holy Spirit. And so Abraham says, I want you to put your hand under my thigh. And so what this is saying is, he's saying by the Holy Spirit, all the offspring that God has envisioned and planned through the foundation of the world comes by the Spirit of God. When the Spirit of God takes God's Word, takes Jesus, and plants it in people's hearts, come on, there's an offspring. Come on, you and I, we were being born again by the incorruptible Word of God. Come on, 1 Peter chapter 1, that's how you and I were born again. We were born, 1 Peter chapter 2, we were born again because we desired that sincere milk of the Word. And we were hungry for it. In other words, when the Spirit of God touched us and drawed us, we said, Jesus, I want you to be my Lord. I want you to be my Savior. And the Spirit of God brought Jesus into our heart, and we were born again. And so that's exactly what this is alluding to. Now, notice what happens in verse 3. I will make thee swear by the Lord, the God of heaven and the God of earth, that thou shalt not take a wife unto my son of the daughters of the Canaanites, with whom I dwell. So God is saying, he's saying to the Holy Spirit, I want you to go and I want you to find my children in this world. Now, the Canaanites here, their name means peddler, but they were mixed. And, you know, I don't know how deep you want to get into all of that, but they were a mixed race in the sense of angelic, Genesis chapter 6, coming into the God's promised land, and they created a hybrid, and God's not pleased. And so that's another whole other sermon for another time. But he's saying, I don't want you to go get a bride for my son Isaac from there. I want you to go to my people. And so that's what the Spirit of God is doing right now. There's a lot of lost people in the world. Come on, you and I, we were lost. We were undone. But guess what? We belong to God. God wanted us. He come to where I was at in my sin. He come to where you were at in your sin. And he said, I love you. I love you with an everlasting love. I have a plan to prosper you. I have a plan to complete you. I want you to see how important you are. So this is what this is all about getting a bride, building the church. Come on, say, I'm part of the church. You're part of the church. Jesus is the head, and we're a part of this many-membered body. He said, but thou shalt go into my country, into my kindred, and take a wife unto my son Isaac. So notice all of these my's. You got three my's there. Psalms 24:1 tells us that the earth is the Lord's and the... And Paul quotes it in 1 Corinthians 10:26. So we know that Abraham here is that type and that shadow of God owning it all. And there's such a comfort in knowing that your father, my father, owns it all. Amen. All right. Now, drop down. He makes him promised what he was going to do. And drop down to verse 9. And the servant, remember the type of the Holy Spirit, Eliezer, God is my, I'm God's helper, God's helper. And the servant put his hand under the thigh of Abraham, his master, and he swore him concerning the matter. Verse 10, and the servant took 10 camels of the camels of his master and departed. Now, I want you to imagine the Holy Spirit, he takes the truth of God, he takes Jesus, and he brings it to you and I. He brings it to the world. He gives them an opportunity to see that there's something better. Come on, sin has a glimmer to it. The Bible says in the book of Hebrews that there's even pleasure in sin for a season. And when that season's over, it brings death. So my flesh still enjoys certain sin, and it'll always enjoy that sin. But that has nothing to do with the goodness of God, because the goodness of God delivers me from that. Amen. Makes you an overcomer. So I want you to imagine here, he took 10 camels of the camels. So the number 10 means law, testimony, and responsibility. So the Holy Ghost, he's going to take the things of God, the right number to testify about the goodness of God, about the grace of God, about the guiding hand of God, about the gifts of God. And so camels in the Bible is so important for you and I to understand. Camels always represent God's grace. So when he takes 10 of them, he's taking a double portion, a double anointing of grace. See, in these last days, you and I, we need a double anointing of grace to live by, to overcome by, to minister by, to witness by, and it's available to us. Because all the Holy Spirit done was just take 10 of the camels. Isn't that amazing? He takes what's needed, but if there was to be a need for more, there's more available. That's amazing to us tonight, because in other words, God's grace is sufficient. You cannot overdraw on the grace of God. You can't outdo the grace of God. In other words, whatever you need in your life, the grace is there. It's available to you tonight. If you need peace, if you need joy, if you need victory, if you need help in any sort of manner it might be, God's word, the scripture, reveals that grace, and it's available to us. So he took 10 of the camels of the camels of his master and departed. For notice this, for all the goods of his master were in his hand. So what does that mean to you and I? That means that the Holy Spirit, and you look in John 14, you look in John 16, and it tells us that the Holy Spirit will never say anything about himself. He'll only speak of Jesus, right? And the Holy Spirit, as the Spirit wills, that's how the giftings of God comes. That's how the promises of God comes. That's how the blessing of God comes. So here we see that God's helper, the Holy Spirit, he takes these camels of grace and he brings them to where the bride's at. See, the Holy Spirit's going to come to where you're at. See, I can't come to the Father unless the Holy Spirit comes to where I'm at and he draws me to the Father. Isn't that amazing? So tonight I may have some lack in my life. I may have some discouragement in my life. I may have some need in my life. I may have some problems in my life. But I need to be assured that the Holy Spirit is going to come to where I'm at and show that the Father's drawing me to him, because he has what I need. He has what you need. More importantly, he has what the Father wants to give us. Isn't that something? See, the devil's convinced us we got to beg God. No, you're not a beggar. You're a child of God. You've got to know, I've got to know who we are, and it's all because of the grace. Amen? All right, now notice this. It says that all the goods of his master were in his hand, and he arose and he went to Mesopotamia under the city of Nahor. Now that's important. Nahor, underline it in your mind's eye, write it on the table of your heart. It means... The whole world's asleep right now. It's time that they wake up and they see the glory of Jesus Christ. There's grace to bring them out of a sleep. There's grace to bring them up, to wake them up. The Bible says, Paul commanded the church, it's high time that you awake and arise to righteousness and shine the light of the Lord. Amen. We need to awake to the truth and live by the truth of the living God. There's a whole generation that's asleep, but God loves them. He has a plan for them. Amen. And we've got the grace to be able to what? To do what He would have us to do. Sister Victoria, put Romans 8:14. Let's look at 14, 15, 16, and 17. Romans 8:14, you know the verse very well, because you know how what the Spirit does in your life. For as many as are, say, I'm led by the Spirit of God, ye are the, come on, you're the children of God, amen, the Most High God. So you got to believe that. So the Spirit of God has come to where you're at, come to where I'm at, that camels of grace has took a hold of us and drawed us. Verse 15, for you've not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. So you and I, we know who we are. We know who God is. We know what He has ordained us to be. Verse 16. We're working our way to verse 17. The Spirit Himself, better translated, beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. Now, if we're the children of God, what does these camels of grace, the Holy Spirit ministering all that Abraham had, what does that mean? Verse 17. And if children, then heirs. Come on, you're an heir of God. Look what the Scripture says. Heirs of God, joint heirs with Christ, if so be that we suffer with Him that we may also be glorified together. So these 10 camels, they represent, they testify. They're a testimony of the law of grace. Not the Old Testament law, but the law of grace. And they testify that God has a responsibility because of what Jesus done to you, for you, in you. And then when you receive, when I receive, when we accept that grace, then we have a responsibility to live out of those 10 camels. Yes, sir. Isn't that amazing? Yes. Now think about a camel now, so you can understand what we're talking about. These camels, they can carry 500 pounds easily. See, you and I, we're supposed to cast all of our cares upon the Lord, because He cares for us. The grace of God allows you to cast your care upon Jesus. What are you carrying tonight? What is the devil trying to bow you down with? What kind of fear? What kind of anxiety? What kind of nervousness? What kind of questions do you have? See, out of the substance of being a joint heir with Jesus Christ, an heir of God, you can call upon this Bible. You can call upon the God of this Bible who wants to help you in your situation. You can let God's grace carry what's trying to drown you, what's trying to overwhelm you. And so all you've got to do, all I've got to do, is call upon the name of the Lord. The Bible says, Old Testament, New Testament, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. New Testament, delivered, Old Testament means the same thing. So I need to be in that place where I call on the God of all grace. Amen? But not only that, some of you are here tonight, and if you'll just let it bear witness in your spirit, you're going through a trial. You're going through a dry season. You're going through a struggle. And the great thing about a camel is, a camel has two eyelids. So when they go through the sandstorms of life, they close the one eyelid. And when they close the one eyelid, it enables them to be able to see in the worst sandstorm. Doesn't matter how much the wind is blowing. Doesn't matter how much sand is mixed in the very wind. They can see where they're going. Come on, you tonight, you can call on the Lord and you can see where you're going. It doesn't matter how much dust is in the air. God's grace will enable you. God's grace will give you vision. Your vision is not in and of yourself, what you know, what you see. Your grace, your vision is in of the Holy Ghost inside of you because you have eyes to see. Amen. Amen. So you've got to call upon the name of the Lord, and you've got to say, I'm going to let that grace come into my life. I'm going to let that prepare me. But see, these camels, they have two humps in what we're talking about particularly here. And these two humps, you and I, we can sit down between these two humps and we can hold on. Come on, we can ride grace all the way to heaven. Come on, as long as we don't leave the camel, we don't leave grace, it doesn't matter what happens. Grace is going to carry us through all the way. Because see, in these two humps, they're full of energy source. These two humps, they're full of what is needed to take the camel from one place to the next place. You got to tell the devil, listen, you may be working in my life. You may be bringing discouragement, despair. You may be trying to steal, kill, and destroy. But I've got the two humps of grace. I'm not going to run out. I'm going to have energy. I'm going to have wisdom. I'm going to have knowledge. I'm going to have peace. I'm going to have what I need to be an overcomer, because the Bible says I am an overcomer. Amen. My confidence is in the finished work of the grace of the cross of Jesus Christ. That's yours tonight. So the Bible says that I can, you can, we can do all things through Christ because of His strength. Amen. So see the humps of grace. See that He will bring into your life. He's the vine, we're the branches. Let Him pour into your life what you need. But these camels, they can go through the hottest situation. These camels, they all the time, they go through the desert there in the Port of Sudan. And if you look it up, you can Google it. The Port of Sudan has the highest temperature of sand ever recorded in the history of the earth. 183.4 degrees. And these camels walked right through it. Who are you riding on? Come on, you're riding on Jesus. You're riding on the grace of the camel of the living God. It don't matter how hot the fire is. You're going to go in the fire and you're going to come out the fire. Hananiah, Azariah, Mishael, they were thrown into the furnace. Come on, but when they come out, there was nothing bounding them. They didn't even smell like smoke. They were free, amen? So when you go through these fires of life, you've got to see, no, I've got the Holy Ghost. I've got that grace in my life. I've got that guidance in my life. I've got the giftings of God that are coming to me. Now, quickly, think about this. Okay. Don't forget that. Okay, we'll come back to that. Drop down. Look at his prayer, the prayer of the Holy Ghost, verse 12. And he said, Lord God, of my master Abraham, I pray thee, send me good speed this day and show kindness unto my master Abraham. Behold, I stand here by the well of water, and the daughters of the men of the city come out to draw water. And let it come to pass that the damsel to whom I shall say, let down thy pitcher, I pray thee, that I may drink. And she shall say, drink, and I will give thy camels to drink also. Let the same be she that thou hast appointed for thy servant Isaac. And thereby I shall know that thou hast shown kindness unto my master. So I want you to imagine that the Holy Spirit is this type and this shadow is showing us how to pray. It's giving us the guidance. See, you and I, we know not how to pray, Romans 8, unless we pray with groanings which cannot be uttered, right? So the Holy Spirit will inspire you, will empower you, will give you the ability to pray the words of the Spirit to get the mind of God in your life and take you where you need to go. So here, Eliezer, God's helper, it prayed this prayer. Now, drop down to verse 15, Genesis 24:15. And it came to pass, before he was done speaking, that behold, Rebekah came out, who was born of Bethuel, son of Milcah, wife of Nahor, Abraham's brother, with her pitcher upon her shoulder. Now, you know the old saying that we've all heard and we've probably all said, if you want something done, ask somebody that's busy to do it. Because somebody's busy, they're the ones that's what? They're doing something. Everybody that says, well, I just don't have time. They probably wouldn't do it anyway because they don't, any of us have time. We just got to make a choice of what we're going to do. So I want you to imagine here she comes and she comes prepared. I every morning when you get up, every morning when I get up, when they say, Lord, prepare me to be your sanctuary. Prepare me to be your vessel. Prepare me to be what you've ordained me to be this day. Amen. And then you and I will always be in step with the Lord. Verse 16, and the damsel was very fair to look upon, a virgin. Neither had she had any man known her. And she went down to the well and filled her pitcher and came up. So you and I, we've got to see that in the last days, there's only two types. We can label anything we want to, but there's only two types. There's the bride of Christ, and don't get mad at me, this is Bible, there's the whore of Babylon. That's it. You're either the bride of Christ, or you're of the whore of Babylon. There's no other, there's no in between, there's no gray area, there's no questioning. And so what we gotta do is call upon the name of the Lord. And when we call upon the name of the Lord and accept that grace, we come out of Babylon, we come into grace, and now we're what? We're children of the Most High God. That's who we are. And so notice the type and the shadow here. She took her vessel, look what it said. She took her vessel, her pitcher, and she went down to the well, and she filled it up, and she came up. Come on, that's a type of salvation. When you and I, when we, John chapter 4, when we go to the well of salvation, and when we meet Jesus there, and we fill up, we draw out of the living water, we fill up out of that well of salvation, then you and I, we come up, we humble ourselves, and we come up, we're born again. We have a new life. And so that's what's at the top and the shadow of. Verse 17. Now, and the servant ran. Now mark this down in your mind's eye. And the servant ran to meet her and said, "Let me, I pray thee, drink a little water of thy pitcher." Now, notice the servant here, this is the type of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit runs to Rebecca. Doesn't that encourage you tonight? The Holy Spirit of the living God doesn't, "Well, I'll try to get to it if I can." No! He runs to Rebecca. See, the devil wants to tell us, oh, if we pray long enough, if we pray hard enough, if we do all of these things, God might hear us and he might move. No, God's always moving. Come on, he's a moving God. He's a loving God. He has a plan and a will and a destination, a determination, a direction for your life, for my life. And so the Holy Spirit here, this type and shadow, runs to meet Rebecca and says, "I want a drink of what you got." See, what we just read, if your spirit bears witness with the Holy Spirit bears witness with your spirit, there's a drinking there. Isn't that amazing? You mean I can drink of the Lord, but then I can also let the Holy Spirit partake with me? I've got some stuff to give the Holy Ghost. Everybody wants the Holy Ghost to give them something. Thank God for that. But guess what? You and I, we can give back. We're vessels that we need to empty out to the Lord. All right. Verse 18. And she said, "Drink, my Lord." She hastened and let down her pitcher upon her hand and gave him drink. Verse 19. And when she had done giving him drink, she said, "I will draw water for thy camels also until they have had a sip." Until they're completely full. Wow. See, you and I, we don't recognize and realize what we can do because of grace. We tell, "Well, God, I'll do this, but that's all I can do." No, you and I, we can do what's needed. There was a need here. There was a need here, and she met the need because of the, she had what? She had met Jesus. She had met the one who met her needs, and thus now she's a vessel of honor unto the Lord, and she can meet the need of the moment. Come on, you and I, we've got to tell the devil, "I have no limitations. I have no lack. I can do whatever God asks me to do." Amen? So I want you to imagine this now. She said, I'm not going to just give your camels a drink. Come on, the prayer's being answered here. This is exactly what he prayed. So let's think about it. The camels here, they say that they could, if they're really thirsty like they would have been after this journey, that they would drink anywhere from 30 to 40 gallons, about 35 gallons of water. Her pitcher, tradition tells us, would held about 3 gallons. So we're talking about she would have made 12 trips down to the well, back up the hill for each camel. There were 10 camels. That's 120. Now, what does Acts 1 tell us? How many people was there on the day of Pentecost? Was anybody left out? See the type in the shadows? That's what this is about. You and I, we pull from the well of salvation, and then we're ready to drink from the rivers of living water, because God saves us to use us. God saves us to be able to minister truth and to let His Spirit rule and reign in our life. So she brings all of this water to these animals. to these camels, and she meets the need. Now look what it says. Verse 20. And she hastened and emptied her pitcher into the trough and ran again unto the well to draw water and drew for all of his camels. See, the Holy Ghost ran to her. Now she's running by the Holy Ghost. Yes. Isn't that amazing? So whatever the Holy Spirit does in your life, you can do, because what He has done is a seed in your life to give you a pattern, to give you power to be able to accomplish it. Amen? So I need to tell the devil, listen, I've got the pattern in my life, but I've got the power to fulfill the pattern. In the name of Jesus, I will do, I can do all things through Christ. Amen? It's going to be accomplished. So you see this great type and shadow. So we see the grace coming in Rebecca's life. We see the guidance. Because the Holy Spirit had been praying that, she is being guided by the Holy Spirit. And those giftings are fixing to come. And we alluded to it this morning, you and I, we've got to have grace before we have the gifts. If we get things out of order, that's when the devil can take and he can bring what he's working in the earth right now. There's a false religion in the earth today. There's another study for another time. All right. Verse 21. Look what it says about the Holy Spirit. This type and shadow. And the man wondering at her. You and I can make the Holy Spirit of God wonder. The word from the Hebrew means that he was astonished. You and I, we can astonish the Holy Spirit of the living God by having this attitude of action. Boy, that means everything to me, don't it to you? I mean, that we're in that place. And the man wanting her held his peace, to wit, whether the Lord had made his journey prosperous or not. He's watching the thing play out before his very eyes, because he wanted to see what she was going to do. Verse 22. And it came to pass as the camels had done drinking. So in other words, he was looking to see if Rebecca was going to fulfill what she promised. See, it's one thing to say, God, I'll do that under the anointing in our prayer closet, in our church time. What happens when the rubber meets the road? We got to make sure. The Bible says if we tell God that we're going to do something, that we better do it. Amen. And so that's what the Holy Spirit's doing. He gave her the ability, and he's waiting to see. So he saw her do it. And look what happens after he gives her grace and he gives her guidance, that the man took a golden earring of a half shekel weight and two bracelets for her hands, 10 shekels of weight of gold. So he gave her grace, he gave her guidance, she followed that guidance, and here comes the gifts. Come on, God's got gifts for you and I. Now let's think about this. We won't turn there and look at it, but you can look in the book of Exodus that this, where he says the earring of a half a shekel of weight, that's exactly what you pay to ransom a slave. That's salvation. See, Jesus, what did we read there in Romans chapter 3? Jesus, he is our justifier. He's the one that ransomed you and I. He paid our debt in full. Amen. And so, we've got to see that when you got born again, when I got born again, this royal diadem, this earring, that come into our life is not really an earring. It's either a diadem in her forehead or a nose ring. But what it means is it's a type and a shadow of you and I being sealed by the grace of God. See, when you get born again, when I get born again, you are sealed by the Holy Ghost. God knows His own, amen, and He marks you. He's calling you out of this world, and in your mind, will, and emotions, your soul is being renewed by the Holy Spirit in your spirit to empower you to do all those things. Now notice what happens. She has the ability now on her hands to do the impossible. But verse 23, and he said, whose daughter art thou? Tell me, I pray thee, is there room in thy father's house for us to lodge in? Now, see, here's what happens if we're not careful. You and I, the Holy Spirit draws us to salvation. We drink of the well of salvation. We come and we move to that next level of infilling of the baptism of the Holy Spirit and the reality of being able to serve God in and by the Spirit is there. But as we start walking down that deal, the narrow way is presented to us. Jesus is that narrow way. And see, if I ever want to get closer to Him, I can't be as close to Him tomorrow as I was today staying where I'm at. The narrow way, every time I take a step in Jesus, it gets more narrow. And in the narrow way is I get pruned and I get purged. I've got to lay down some things. I don't have to lay them down today, but when He shows them to me tomorrow, I lay them down. And so the question is, will you make room? Will I make room every day for the Holy Spirit to come in our house? He's not going to be cramped. 2 Corinthians 3:17, where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is. So He's not going to be bound up in any form or fashion. And if I want to stay in a room with all sorts of things that He can't operate in, then that's my choosing. So He asked her this question, is there room? Can I come into the very secret place of your life? Can I come into those places that you and I, that's private to us, that's comfortable to us, that nobody else would understand? And the answer is yes. Lord, we want you in there. We want you there. Now notice what happens. And she said, I am the daughter of Bethuel, the son of Milcah, which she bare unto Nahor, the snorer. And she said, moreover unto him, we have both straw and provender enough and room to lodge in. So she says, not only do I want you to come into my house, but everything that I have, you're welcome to. Isn't that something? Because she realized everything that she had come from. So that's what we got to tell the Lord. We've got to say, Lord, yes, your Holy Spirit is welcome in the secret part of my heart, the secret part of my life. You come and you come quickly. You come powerfully. And not only can you come in there, but everything that I have there, you can use for your glory. Come on, we're talking about grace, guidance, and gifts. Because see, this is just the start of the gifts. This is just the gift of salvation. God has more. See, God's waiting to see if He can trust us. He's waiting to see if we will honor Him, if we will yield to Him. But there is so much more that He has for us, but we've got to be willing, step by step, by this word to receive. Amen? Okay. Now look what happens. Drop down to verse 28. Remember what the Holy Ghost had done. The Holy Ghost had ran to her in verse 28. And the damsel ran. Once again, second witness to what we can do, what the Spirit does in us. And the damsel ran and told them of her mother's house these things. Verse 29. And Rebekah had a brother and his name was Laban. Now mark that down in your mind's eye. Laban means white. This is important. Type and shadow. And Laban ran out into unto the man, unto the well. So look what happens. She goes and she goes to her household and she testifies about this Holy Spirit that has brought this promise and provision to her. And Laban comes out of his house and he comes to the well. And he's made white. When his name means white. So we got to see that when you and I, when we come to the washing of the water of the word, Ephesians chapter 5, you and I, we're made white. We're washed and we're continually being made more like Him. Now look what happens. Verse 30. And it came to pass when he saw. See, people are looking at you. They're looking at the Holy Ghost in you. They're looking at the Holy Ghost upon you. They're looking at how Jesus is being manifested in and through your life. And it's going to make a difference. And when it came to pass, when he saw the earrings and the bracelet. Remember, the earrings means sealed by the Spirit. The bracelet means the ability to work with the hands what she had never worked before. She had never told him about the well before. See, the devil tries to tell you that you can't tell people about the simplicity of Christ. You can. Because it's the Holy Spirit in you. You're His mouthpiece. That's it. You're His mouthpiece. And so when he saw the earrings and bracelets upon his sister's hands, and he heard the words. Nobody can be saved unless they hear the word. Jesus said, go ye into all the world and preach your doctrine. Preach the gospel, right? The good news. He heard the words of Rebekah, his sister, saying, thus spake the man unto me, that he came unto the man, and behold, look what he does, look what Laban does, and when it's being made white, he stood by the camels at the well. Grace. He stood by grace at the well of salvation. Isaiah 12:3 commands you and I to draw out of the well of salvation. Come on, there's some things tonight that you and I need to draw out of this well. There's some things that God has for you. There's some promises. There's some blessing. There's some knowledge. There's some understanding. There's some deliverance. There's some victory. It's there, but you've got to be able to stand by grace. Stop trying to stand on your own. I never overcome some of my sin because I just kept begging God to deliver me when the deliverance was done. But when I decided I was going to stand in Jesus by the grace of the Holy Ghost, that's when I started standing. Amen? That's when you have the victory. Okay. Drop down to verse 33. And there was sent meat before him to eat. Now this is a type and a shadow of what is Jesus waiting on right now? He's waiting on the marriage supper of the Lamb. That's what this is a type and a shadow of. And there was meat set before him to eat, but he said, I will not eat until I have told my Aaron. And he said, speak on. And he said, I am Abraham's servant, and the Lord has blessed my master greatly, and he has become great, and he hath given him flocks and herds and silver and gold, men servants and maid servants, camels and asses or donkeys. And Sarah, my master's wife, bare a son to my master when she was old, and to him hath he given all that he hath. Now, what is the Holy Spirit doing here? He's lifting up Isaac. What does John 12:32 say? If Jesus be lifted up, that's what's happening. So this is the type and the shadow. He's telling this household, he's saying, listen, I want Rebekah to come and to be Isaac's wife. I want Rebekah to be the bride of Christ. And we're not going to have the marriage supper of the Lamb until everyone is called in. Come on, Jesus is waiting, that the trumpet is ready to be blown. You and I, we have all of eternity. We have joy and bliss to look forward to. But until the blowing of the trumpet, you and I, we need to be about. We've got some things to do. We've got a job to do. And so he presents this lifting up of Jesus. Now drop down. He goes and he reiterates everything. He testifies. See, the Holy Ghost brings to your mind and my mind over and over and over. That's what these next verses, we can't cover them. We don't have time. But drop down to verse 50. Genesis 24:50. Then Laban and Bethel answered and said, the thing proceedeth from the Lord. We know what's God and what's not. The thing proceedeth from the Lord. Verse 51. Behold, Rebekah is before thee. Take her and go, and let her be thy master's son's wife, as the Lord has spoken. And it came to pass that when Abraham's servant heard the words, that he worshipped the Lord, bowing himself to the earth. And we'll address that in just a moment. But he knew that his journey was successful. But look what happens with her coming to this place in this position of her witnessing and testifying. Verse 53, and the servant brought forth jewels of silver and jewels of gold and raiment and gave them to Rebekah. See, so with God's grace will guide you where he wants you to go. And when you get to where he wants you to go, then the giftings start coming. 1 Corinthians chapter 12 tells us that as the Spirit wills, he what? He gives gifts. The gifts of the Holy Ghost in your life and in my life. For him to be able to use us to lift up Jesus. And so, Rebecca, all of a sudden, she's being led into the place where there is new giftings that's coming into our life, but not just her life. Look, he gave also to her brother and to her mother precious things. See, your family, they're going to be saved because of you. You say, well, they don't listen to a word I say. They may not listen, but they're looking. They may not listen to your face, but they're listening by their heart. Amen? Why? Because the grace of God is in you. The Holy Spirit is in you lifting up Jesus. And whether they want to admit it or not, when Jesus is lifting up, there's a drawing there. There's a revelation there. There's an understanding there. All of those things are happening. All right. Now, drop down and look at what, verse 58. And they called Rebekah and said unto her, wilt thou go with this man? See, ultimately, they said, go ahead and take her. You know, he didn't even address that because that was ignorant. Because that's going to be her decision whether she goes or not. It's going to be your decision whether you go or not. It's going to be my decision that nobody else is going to make it for us. And they called Rebekah and said unto her, wilt thou go with this man? And she said, I will go. So tonight, will you go by the grace of God? In other words, will you let God's grace give you the victory? Will you let God's grace give you exactly what you need? He knows what you need greater than you do. He knows what I need greater than I do. Will you let that grace give you that? And then will you just by receiving that grace, let him start guiding you into a new place where the giftings of God can come? Yes, I will, won't you? Now notice, verse 59. And they sent away Rebekah, their sister, and her nurse, and Abraham's servant, and the men. Drop down to verse 61. And Rebekah arose and her damsels, and they what? They rode upon the camels. So all of this journey back across this desert, Rebekah is waiting to see Jesus, waiting to see Isaac, the type thereof, but she's riding on the camels. She's riding on the grace. See, the grace that brought her out of where she was at and brought her to be the bride of God's Son, the type and the shadow, the grace that brought her the nose ring or the diadem and the bracelets and all the gold and the jewels, all of those things were just a blessing, but the true blessing was she was going to be with Isaac. She was going to be with Jesus. You and I, we're going to be with Jesus forever. And ever and ever, amen, the one who is the lover of our soul, the one who understands us. Sometimes, I know Donna looks at me and she says, you know, and like I look at her, I don't know what you're talking about. I want to, but Jesus understands me. Jesus understands you. There's no confusion. And we're going to get to be with him forever. Now notice, just a second, I'll let you go. And they rode upon the camels and they followed the man. Will you follow the Holy Ghost tonight? Will you follow the man? Will you follow Eleazar, God's helper? Just every day, just say, Lord, I know there's many voices in this world. But I want to make sure that I claim your scripture, that I hear your voice. I want you to lead me. I don't want to be distracted. I don't want to be discouraged. I don't want to be discomfited. I want to follow your voice. And they followed the man, and the servant took Rebekah and went his way. And Isaac, now notice verse 62, we're almost done. And Isaac came from the well of Lehi-Roi. Now Isaac is at a well. Now, all of a sudden, as she's fixing to come and she's fixing to meet her, the type and the shadow of Jesus, that this well here, it's the well of life and it's the well of vision. That's what this is fully translated from the Hebrew. So you and I will never have life if we don't have Jesus. We'll never have vision if we don't have Jesus. God says, Hosea 4:6, my people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. Knowledge is having no vision. If you don't have knowledge, you don't have a vision. Where there's no vision, my people perish. We've got to have a vision. So all of a sudden, I want you to see this now. She's riding upon grace, and this is a long journey, and she's waiting to see Isaac. But all of a sudden, when she gets to that place where Isaac's at, he's at the place of true life and the place of true vision. See, if you and I, if we'll ride grace through situations and through dark times and dry times, you have the promise that you're going to be able to have life. You're going to be able to have vision. Verse 63. And Isaac went out to meditate in the field. Now, I want you to think about this. Jesus tells us in Matthew 13, the field is the world. And so this is what Jesus is doing. Jesus is looking at the field. He's looking at the earth right now. And he's looking at the harvest. And he sees that it's ripe. But he's waiting. He's a patient. James says that he's a patient husbandman. He's waiting that none should perish. But he's waiting on that bride. Well, how does the bride work? How does the bride come? By the Holy Ghost working in the church. We're wanting the Lord to come, but he's not going to come until you and I, what? Until we get the job done. Amen? All right. Verse 64. And Rebekah lifted up her eyes, and when she saw Isaac, she lighted off the camel. See, when you see Jesus, now it's not about faith. You've received the fullness of grace. You're in that place of promise and provision. Now notice what it says, the last part of verse 65, when the servant told her who Isaac was, because she didn't know. It is my master. Therefore, she took a veil and she covered herself. See, you and I, we've got to make sure that we stay under the blood of Jesus. We stay under that veil of grace, but we step into the fullness of who Jesus is. Verse 66, and the servant told Isaac all the things that he had done, the Holy Ghost talking to Jesus, Jesus talking to the Holy Ghost, type and shadow. Verse 67, and Isaac brought into his mother Sarah's tent and took Rebekah, and she became his wife, and he loved her, and Isaac was comforted after his mother's death. I want you to imagine, this is what Jesus is wanting so bad. Remember, Jesus looked out over Jerusalem and he said, oh, Jerusalem, Jerusalem, how I've longed to pull you as a chick under a hen's wings. And he said, that's my heart's desire. I want to pull you under that place of protection, but you would not. Will we come into the tent? See, when she went into the tent, that meant that everything that Isaac had got from Abraham became hers. That's exactly right. We've got a blood covenant that God will never break. I can choose to break it if I want to, but God will never break it. So what I want to see that I'm a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ, and because I'm a believer, I'm justified. So I don't have to struggle with sin. I give the sin to the victory at the cross. I don't struggle. See, I used to struggle so much with performance anxiety. Anybody in here? I'm not doing good enough. I'm not praying hard enough. I'm not witnessing well enough. I'm not testifying good enough. All just tear my mind up with performance. I'm not preaching good enough. All of those things. And it will wear you out. It will make you say, well, I just don't want to do anything. But when we get from performance to promise, and that's what the Spirit of God wants to do for you tonight. He wants to get you out of this performance mentality to the promise that everything is yours and that you are who God says you are. Amen. And he wants to see you in that place that you're in the tent, that you are an heir of God, a joint heir with Jesus Christ. Amen. Will you come into that tonight? Will you see grace, but will you let it grace lead you to the place of the full giftings that God has? Will you let the word, now ye are clean, John 15:3. Now you are clean through the word which I have spoken. Now, but tomorrow I'm going to need a new word. I'm going to be pruned today, right now, but I'm going to be pruned tomorrow. I'm going to lay down some things. I'm going to climb into some things like never before. Father, in Jesus' name, I thank you for this group of people. I thank you, Lord, that you have brought us here together in this moment of time. And to the best of my ability, Lord, I have yielded to your Spirit. I trust you, Lord. I honor you. I ask that you brought each person here. So I don't have to have a performance anxiety. It's not my role to feed them. I'm just your under shepherd. They're fed by your spirit in their spirit. Let each person here hear what you're saying to them. Let them be encouraged. Let them be strengthened. Let them be directed to that place of genuine grace that brings the very God guidance and the good gifts that will show how wonderful Jesus is. Lord, let it be. Whatever the needs might be in people's lives tonight, let them trust you because you're knocking on their heart's door and you're speaking to them. Let it be. Or we ask these things in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Would you come tonight and say, come to these altars, make yourself an altar in your heart and say, Lord, here I am. I thank you for the reality of the Old Testament and how I can see Jesus in it. I can receive the grace of God. I recognize and realize that there's going to be a marriage supper, that there's going to be a sounding of the trumpet, that there's going to be a change. There's going to be an ending of time as we know it. And then there's going to be eternity. Would you come to the Lord tonight and say, Lord, here I am. I want to enjoy everything about this life. I want the grace to make it through this struggle that I'm in. Would you come and just let him minister to you? He wants to hold you by the hand. He wants to hold you and speak to your heart. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus.